Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And we're very blessed right now to have with us David Ells. David has Unleavened Bread Ministries. He is in Pensacola, Florida, and you can reach his website at www.americaslastdays.com. And today we're just going to kind of talk about things that are going on and the signs that are pretty darn clear right now. And the name of your website, David, America's Last Days, that's really prophetic because that's where we're at, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I take a lot of flack for that. You know, we gave it that name a long time ago before there were a lot of radical Muslims out there wanting there to be America's Last Days, you know.
Right.
So people hear that sometimes and they think, oh, he's somebody that's against America, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, they don't understand. I'm the one that's praying for America and doing my very best to help out, you know. But.
Absolutely. Okay. What are we seeing that's telling us that these are the last days of America as we've known it?
What are the what?
What are we seeing?
Oh.
In, you know, go on now that are telling us, aside from some legislation that's been passed. I mean, it is conceivable that in the not-too-distant future, websites like yours and mine may be not available on the Internet.
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that we need to get the message out now because it's going to be closed down before long. But that won't stop the work of God. I mean, God is just going to do signs and wonders to attract attention, you know.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, we're coming to the most awesome revival the world has ever seen. And it's going to be a repetition of the Gospels and the Book of Acts, as I've shared before on your program. The Lord told me years ago that everything was going to be repeated, except this time it's going to be around the world, because this time Israel, spiritual, New Testament Israel, that is those who are circumcised in heart, are around the world. It's not just a little bitty natural Israel over in the Middle East. See?
Right.
So, I mean, everything, God says, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So everything in the Gospels and in the Book of Acts is being repeated. It's a prophecy that many have not realized yet. But.
Absolutely. Oh. Well, we see, too, you know, there's just a lot of... David, have you... I watch the news at times, and very frequently in the last several months or year, there has been more on the news about Christianity, the Vatican, the Muslims, the Mormons, never in mainstream news have they had so much attention put on God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's almost, I don't know if it's just because of the source that it's coming from, you know, the mainstream news, or the way they're treating it or what, but it's almost creepy.
Yes, it is. And, but of course we have the three main world religions all coming to a loggerhead here, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, God ordained this. I mean, everybody's, you know, out there with their conspiracies and trying to figure out what to do about it, but there isn't anything they can do about it because the Lord has ordained this in order to bring His people to repentance. through these shakings that are going on, and at the same time bring a wonderful revival and bring in the latter rain. So we've got some convergences here that are going to shake the whole world. And thank God, these are the days when God is going to manifest his sons in the earth. So praise be to God. There's never been a time in history like this, you know, and I'm frankly looking forward to it. Many people are afraid, you know, when they find out that they're not going to fly away. They become afraid because of all the bad things they've heard from their churches, you know. But frankly, this is the day when God's going to have his will done. He's going to restore the church to her former glory, you know, in the days of the book of Acts, you know.
Yes. Well, I think we should rejoice because it is, we're witnessing the beginning of the end, if you will, of Satan's kingdom.
Yes.
You know, and his rule. And, you know, for example, with the economy, and the news is saying it's good, you know, we've got a strong economy, yet we read all these things that are telling us that that's not really so. David, don't you think that this whole thing has come about because of the corruption of the weights and measures that we're told about in the Bible, in the book of Revelation?
Yes, I do. I'm afraid a lot of Christians are pointing their finger at the world.
Yeah.
But it's not the world that God's dealing with here, it's the church.
Right.
And they want America, for instance, to repent. But you know what? The Bible says God grants repentance. I mean, this is a gift from God here.
That's
and
right.
And even if you didn't believe that God granted repentance, you'd have to agree with Ephesians 2 and 8, that by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Everyone doesn't have the gift of faith to believe the Word of God. And frankly, you know, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. He was very certain about that. Well, it's because God is the one who gives the gift of faith. He doesn't give it to everyone. You know, Jesus told his disciples, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. So therefore, if God gives the gift of faith and the gift of repentance to an elect group of people, and he doesn't give it to the rest, some people say, well, that's wrong of God. Well, you just have to remember that God did the same thing in the Old Testament, folks. I mean, he only revealed himself to little bitty Israel.
Yeah.
And the rest of the nations, he did not deal so, according to Psalms 147. You know, he didn't deal so with any other nation. So therefore, if it was wrong for God to do that now, it was wrong for him to do it then. I would suggest that God's always right. Now, maybe you don't understand, but he's always right.
Yeah.
And he's bigger than you are, even if he isn't.
Amen to that. Wow.
So what I was saying is, the people who are responsible on this earth is not the world. It's not the lost man. He can do no better than what he is, what his nature is. We are the ones that have been granted the Word of God, the nature of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do better.
Yes.
They can only do what they are. You know, animals only do what they are. And the Bible says every man is as a beast. That's what Solomon said. That you want to know who the beast is? It's all unregenerate men. That's the body of the beast out there. And these people aren't going to do any better than what their nature is. We've been granted by gift of God a new nature. Therefore, who is God holding responsible here? And why is he raising up all of the nations to hate his people for his namesake, which is what he said?
Yes.
You know, and even Israel, God turned the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people. Why? It was the only way to separate his people from the world. They were too friendly with the world. They were in bed with the world, you see. And so the way God solves that problem is he turns the world against his people so that they separate, which is the word sanctified.
Yeah.
you know, in the Bible. Separate, sanctify. So God's sanctifying his people from the world. And they have to realize, first of all, that the world is not my friend. You know, the world is my enemy.
That's right.
And you know, my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. So many confused patriots out there are not rightly dividing the word of God. Our kingdom is not of this world. When you pledge allegiance to a carnal nation in this world, that is Antichrist.
Yeah.
And we are one holy nation. That's what the Bible says, one holy nation. And that holy nation is Israel. We, New Testament Christianity, are Israel. We have been grafted into the olive tree. Read it, Romans chapter 11. We've been grafted into the olive tree, which is called all Israel. So we are that one holy nation. We are the ones that are responsible. We are the ones that need to repent. If we don't repent, do you know what God's going to do? He's going to raise up the world, as he always has when his people have gone into apostasy. You know, in past ages, in the time of Egypt, in the time of Assyria, in the time of Babylon, in the time of Media Persia, Greece, Rome, his people apostatized, and he raised up this beast to come against his people. God took credit for this. See? Now, the Christians are wringing their hands. What are we going to do about this beast? How are we going to get rid of this beast? There's only one thing you can do, Christian. Repent. That's the only thing you can do. If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. See, God has absolute control over the beast.
Yes.
And even over Satan. If you'll go and read the book of Job, nothing has changed. He has control over Satan.
Right.
So therefore, the responsibility is not the world's to change their mind, because that's a gift from God, and if he doesn't give it, they won't get it.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
But we who have been granted faith and belief and the gifts of the Word and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth, we're the ones that are responsible for what's going on in the world today. You know, the world is falling into corruption because the church has not done its job for 2,000 years.
That's true. Absolutely true.
And even if you didn't see that part, you'd have to see the other part, that God has to raise up a beast that's bigger than his people to put them on their cross. See, little Israel has gone to their cross. Natural Israel has gone to their cross many times because God raised up a much bigger beast kingdom to conquer them and physically put them on their cross. And every time they repented. Okay, now, here's the church, a worldwide entity. Once again, God is raising up this worldwide beast to bring the church to her cross. Why? Because the church won't repent. See, it's no use in you pointing your finger at the world out there. It's not their fault. It's our fault. It's our fault.
You're right. That's true.
And, you know, God is going to do in 7 years what the church has failed in 2,000 years to do. And he's going to have to take some drastic measures. Well, number one, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be hatred from the world.
Yeah.
See? And number two, he's going to pour out the latter rain. And number three, he's going to send new leadership that knows and teaches the truth. That's the three main things God's going to do to turn this thing around for the elect. I don't say for what we loosely call the church, but for the elect, God's going to turn this thing around, and it's going to be so fast, and it's going to be such an awesome revival, and it's going to, you know, when you read the Gospels, you see that everybody that came to Jesus got healed and got delivered. And in the book of Acts, they were coming to his disciples and getting healed and delivered. Folks, that's just where we're coming to right now. We're coming to the exact same time in history. The revival that's on the horizon is a great restoration, as Joel called it, you know. The former rain and the latter rain to restore all things, right? Wow, folks, we're coming to the restoration of all things here.
Well, but, isn't this, you know, it gets confusing, David, because a lot of people think, well, you know, this Antichrist is supposed to stand in the temple of Jerusalem, and, you know, proclaim that he is God, and then everything's going to be okay for a while, and then the persecution. And, I mean, there is so much confusion about how thing plays out. What happens when, or does it happen simultaneously? You know, things, I think a lot of things overlap. You know, can you address this, please?
Okay. The biggest problem is the letter. You have so many people who were not sent by God out there teaching the letter.
Yeah.
It's the spirit that gives life. The letter killeth. And so,
you're talking about the letter of the law.
The letter, yes.
Yeah.
When God sends a revelation, he hides it beneath the letter in the spirit.
Yeah.
The carnal man can only see the letter. He can only see the, in fact, he's not doing a very good job of that.
Yeah.
he only sees what's written on the surface. You know, he doesn't see the parable. He doesn't see that there is a necessity of an interpretation here, you know? It's like when Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower.
Right.
You know, well, we know, because he made it pretty obvious, that he wasn't really talking about sowing seeds in the earth.
Right.
He was talking about sowing the seed of the Word of God in our hearts to bring forth his fruit. Well, there's a letter there, and there's a spirit beneath it, you know. And he always is hidden the spirit because to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's a mystery. He hides these things in mysteries. He uses natural parables to hide things from the wise and prudent, but reveal them unto babes. That's what he said.
Right.
You know? So he loves to do that. He loves to reveal the real truth to the ones that love him, keep his commandments, and are true disciples. And hide it from the proud Pharisees, which of course we have all around us today. Did you know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are still ruling Israel, folks? And for goodness sake, you know, the overwhelming majority of the leadership of Christianity is totally apostate. They're blind as a bat. They cannot see the Spirit. But to him that overcometh will I give to he eat of the hidden manna. See, the God's got that hidden manna. He hid it there, and nobody can find it but him.
Right.
And to whomsoever he wills to reveal it. And he says that he reveals it to those that overcome. But you got the proud Pharisees in the pulpits, and they're teaching nothing but the letter. So that's where you get the idea of dragging the letter over and interpreting it with the letter instead of seeing what the Spirit is saying there. There is a beast, folks. I challenge you to go out there and, or just look in your Bible. I challenge you to look in your Bible and look up the word Antichrist. And you'll find some very strange thing. You won't find at all what they're teaching out there.
That's right.
You can't add to the word. See, they're destroying the word of God with their carnal reasoning.
Yes.
The Bible does not say the Antichrist is a man, not in one place. Does it say that?
That's right.
Matter of fact, it tells you very plainly in 1 John that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. Every spirit means all of the spirits out there that do not confess that Jesus lives in that body that they're speaking out of. That's what it's talking about, do you understand? Every spirit of man that speaks out of man, that does not confess to you that Jesus lives in that man, that's the spirit of Antichrist. If you just go and read it in 1 John chapter 4, it'll open your eyes. First of all, you have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Throw everything you heard in the churches out the window and start from scratch. Say, I'm going to find out for myself. I'm going to read the Bible for myself. And then make up your mind. You're not going to add to it or take away from it. Not one iota. Listen to what it says. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is, not has. This was a long time after Jesus came. You understand? understand. So he's not talking about the original coming of Jesus. He's talking about the coming of Jesus in you and in me, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes in us through his word, you see. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, you want to see the Antichrist? Well, notice in the text there that the Antichrist is a corporate body of spirits. So I'll read it to you again. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, folks, there is no letter Antichrist, individual person. There's not one place in the Bible that says that, okay? So if you just look here, it tells you very plainly, every spirit means every spirit out there in man that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in that flesh, or is come in that flesh. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And John said that he's been in the world all along. Okay? He said, in fact, he goes on to say, whereof you have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. So they heard the same thing from their Pharisees in that day, okay?
Yes.
And he goes on to say, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, there's two people there, isn't he?
That's right.
That's you, the body of Christ, and the world, the body of Antichrist. Greater is he that's in you, talking about the Spirit in you, right, than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they as of the world, and the world heareth them. And we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he and who is not of God heareth us not. So this is very plain, you know, that the Antichrist is not an individual, and they point out in Revelation 13, this beast with seven heads, ten horns, you know, that this is the Antichrist. So have you ever seen a man walking around with seven heads and ten horns?
No, of course not.
Well, for goodness sake, then, we have to get the interpretation from the Scripture. And when we go to the Scripture to find out what those seven heads are, the lion, the leopard, the bear, we go back to Daniel, we find out that they're beast kingdoms.
Yes.
And each one of those beasts is a whole kingdom of people.
That's right.
And not only that, the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 3 is made up of all of the kingdoms from Daniel until our day. That image of the beast, that man, is made up of all the kingdoms of the people of the world from that day to this day. How do you get a man out of that? How do you get a man out of that? Now,
well, that's what the pulpit teaches.
Well, of course, and it's so simple. I mean, they have to oversimplify everything because they don't have any depth. You know, they don't have any revelation from God, and God is not revealing it to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look in Revelation chapter 13, this image of the beast here that's making war on the saints, folks, what you're seeing is being hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's what he said. You know, who is man? Who is lost, unregenerate man? Well, Solomon said that they are the beast. All lost, unregenerate man are Antichrist, and all saved people are Christ. You're either in the... Jesus said there's two men in the earth, and one shall be taken and one shall be left. There's only two men in the earth, Jesus? That's right. That's what I said. Yeah. Well, what two men are you talking about, Jesus? Well, there's two corporate men in the earth. There's the body of Christ and the body of Antichrist.
Yeah.
One of them is ruled by a spirit from the pit, and one of them is ruled by a spirit from heaven, right?
Amen.
So they're equal but opposites, you see.
Yes.
Anti means opposite, right?
Right?
So they're equal but opposite. And the temple of God, by the way, you know, you mentioned the temple of God in Thessalonians there,
mm-hmm.
which is, this is so awesome. If people would just slow down and find out what the Bible does say, you know, in 2 Thessalonians there, the temple that he's talking about is never used of the physical temple. The word there is never used by Paul of the physical temple at all. It's always used of the spiritual temple of the people of God. The word is used in there.
Right.
It's not used that way. The physical temple, he used the word Hirion, and here he uses the word Naos, and he uses it 9 other times, and every time he was talking about the temple of the body of Christ. Now, who is it that's in the temple of the body of Christ that is making himself out to be God? Well, it's strange that in the text there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says very plainly that it's the son of perdition.
Yes.
Well, who was the son of perdition in Jesus' day? Remember, everything happens is repeated. You see, history just keeps repeating. In Jesus' day, there was one who sat in the midst of the temple of God, which was the people of God who were born again and believed Jesus Christ and followed him as Savior. And his name was Judas. And he was called the son of perdition.
Yeah.
Well, so what are we seeing here? We're seeing a repetition of history. Every time it's repeated with larger and larger groups of people. There is a Judas in the world today.
Oh, yes.
And he's in the midst of the body of Christ, which is the temple of God, which is the word that's being used here. He's in the temple of God. And what's his job today? The same thing as it was back then. It was to crucify the body of Christ.
Betrayal.
Yes. Betrayal. Exactly. Crucify. So what they see here is nothing but letter. And there is something that restrains until he be come out of the midst, is what it says in the original. The Numeric even says that. What's restraining the son of perdition from coming out of the midst? It tells you there, the falling away. The falling away restrains the revealing of the son of perdition who comes out of the midst, literally, of the body or out of the temple, you see? The falling away. What happened to Judas? See, none of these guys knew Judas was the son of perdition, for instance. You know, when Jesus, you know, told them at the Last Supper that one of you is going to betray me, they all looked at each other and said, "Are you talking about me, Lord?" They didn't know it was Judas. Judas was going around healing and doing the same things the rest of them were doing, you see?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know. But what happened? When he dipped the sop, Satan entered into him, and he went forth to betray Christ. There was a what? A falling away. And then what was revealed? The son of perdition. The son of perdition was revealed by the falling away. The thing that restrains the falling away, the revealing of the son of perdition is the falling away. So here we have the body of Christ on earth. And there's something restraining the revealing of this son of perdition who's sitting in the temple of God. The only thing is, he is his own God.
Right.
He is ruling himself, you see, and he has put himself forward. Judas was a thief. He was a liar. He was all these things sitting in the body, proclaiming to be the body of Christ, you see.
Right. Right.
And yet, this falling away revealed him. Now, we've got another body of Christ. It's a corporate body of Christ with a corporate son of perdition. And how do we know who they are? I mean, you can look around you. You can see a lot of Christians who aren't living the life.
Right.
Well, I can assure you that it will be of those people that we're talking about here, a corporate body of those people who are not living the life but claiming to be sons of God, you see.
Yeah.
Well, we're headed towards a time when if you don't have Christ manifested in your heart, you're going to be forced into a situation whereby your nature is going to take over. For instance, the mark of the beast. That's just a for instance, okay?
Yeah.
What would you do if you really didn't have any faith and they said either deny Christ or we'll take off your head? Would you justify that, he'll forgive me because multitudes of people will say that, the very same thing. Oh, it'll be okay. The mark of Christ overcomes the mark of Antichrist.
Right.
Ooh, that's very, very dangerous thinking,
yeah,
folks, because
yeah,
the Bible doesn't say that at all.
Right.
I mean, the Bible doesn't say that the mark of Christ will overcome it, so go ahead and take it. But people are going to justify it. You know why? Because their carnal nature rules in them. They are already ruled by the mark of the beast. See, in the forehead and in the hand, meaning, of course, the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Yes. They are already ruled that way. The mark is simply an external identification of who these people are. They are already members of the body of the beast. And where are they? Sitting in the temple of God. Yes, they are the beast sitting in the temple of God. Fantastic, folks. Look what God hid in the parable. All they can see is the letter. They want to pick out Antiochus Epiphanes, you know, from the Old Testament, who as an individual, went into the temple of God and slaughtered a pig on the altar and had relations with a harlot on the altar and all these other things, you know. Well, you know what? That was a parable. Those times of Antiochus were written about there in the book of Daniel. It's what was written there was not written literally about our time. It was written literally about Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, if you look at that as a parable, when you bring it into the New Testament, then you see something totally different. But they're not doing that. They're bringing it over as though it's going to be a man. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. When Jesus was crucified, the blood of the covenant was actually poured out. Well, when the blood of the covenant was poured out, what happened? Well, then Jesus stepped into the New Testament literally, and he became what? A corporate body. After the time of Jesus, he's still in the earth as a corporate body called the body of Christ. Now, you say, well, that's true of Christ. Well, let me tell you, it's true of Antichrist too. When you enter into the New Testament, God made a little change here. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel was first called Jacob. But then, as Jacob multiplied, he was still called Israel. He was called Israel even up until this day. What you're talking about when you say the word Israel, which was the name God gave to Jacob, you're talking about a corporate body. And Moab and Ammon, all the way through the Bible, they first used that name to identify an individual, and thereafter, whenever they used that name, it identified a corporate body. So now, see, in the New Testament, folks, we don't pass on our seed in the kingdom physically, we pass it on spiritually. You walk in the steps of your Father.
That's right.
Jesus said of the Pharisees that they did the will of their father, the devil. They walked in his steps. That proved who they were. Not who they physically were passed on to be, it's who they spiritually were, you see.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a Christian, you will what? The Bible says in 1 John, you will walk in his steps.
Yes.
Let anyone say that they abide in Christ, walk as he walked. If you don't walk as he walked, you cannot say you are Christian. Christian means Christ-like.
Okay. The churches out there, these big ones, you know, the CFR churches, they are not teaching that walk. They're not teaching the people, David. And so what is that walk?
Well, when you read the Gospels and you see the story about Jesus, and you see that Jesus turned and he gave this same authority to his disciples, to do the exact same thing he did. And then he told them, he said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me.
Right.
And whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me.
Right.
Meaning, he lives in his people. To the extent the Word of God lives in you, to that extent, Jesus lives in you. And so now that we are this corporate body of Christ, we are also going to be faced by a corporate body of Antichrist and a corporate body called the Son of Perdition. Why do I separate the Son of Perdition from the Antichrist? Well, it's very simple, folks. The Son of Perdition was one of God's people who fell away. He is Antichrist in the church, you see. Now, the Antichrist covers a much larger group of people, because now you're talking about anybody in the world or in the church that's Antichrist.
Yes.
See? The Son of Perdition is not the Antichrist. The Son of Perdition is Antichrist in the church. He is Antichrist in the temple. you understand? Yeah. Now we're talking about a group of believers who are apostate and will persecute the church and be betrayers of the people of God. You see?
Yeah.
See, the parables start coming together if you just slow down and meditate on them and learn these principles of going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Whenever you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you are going from letter to spirit. Now, these people, these leaders of Christianity have never made the transition, folks. They've never made the transition. They're still living under the letter. They're still thinking letter, seeing letter, and it proves who they are.
Yeah.
Do you know who's going to persecute the saints in the end times? It's those who received the letter. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
And who had the testimony of Jesus? Those who were beheaded for Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 20.
Yeah.
Wow, you mean the people who have the revelation of the Spirit are the ones that are going to be persecuted by the people who have the revelation of the letter? You got it. It's always been that way from the beginning. It was that way in Jesus' day. It's that way in our day. They are against us. When they see the letter, they're going to persecute us as apostates. They're going to say we're the Antichrist because of what we see, you see.
Yeah.
They are the apostates. They are the Pharisees and Sadducees. They are the people in bondage to the apostate harlot. They will persecute you.
You know, David, there's people out there right now on both sides of the fence, you know, that call themselves Christians and those that are of the New Age persuasion, etc., that are stating that if it weren't for the Christians believing in the end time message, that this world would not be in the condition that it's in. They're already pointing the finger.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you something else that's pointing the finger. You know, people are wondering now, what's going to cause the world to persecute Christianity? Well, you're watching it right in front of your faces, folks.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's in your face.
Look who is going to start the nastiest war the world has ever seen here. It is apostate Christians pushing George Bush and his administration to go out there and stir up another stink in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, who's going to get the blame for it, folks? The ones that are pushing him right now. I mean, the leaders of Christianity have banded together to pressure this man to say, we need to take Iran out now.
Gotcha.
They're doing it now.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to get the blame when this thing blows up in their face? Because it will. It will blow up in their face. And who's going to get the blame? Well, everybody's going to turn and point their finger at you apostate Christians. And you know what? The problem is that there are some real Christians out there that are not to blame, because real Christians don't believe in war. They don't believe in killing. They believe in turning the other cheek. They believe in loving their enemies. They don't believe in killing their enemies.
Yeah.
So who's going to get the blame? Well, yeah, you know, they're going to group the real true Christians right in there with these apostates.
Oh, sure.
And all the fingers of the whole world is going to be pointed at the Christians, the ones who sent this administration over there to bomb Iran and spread this throughout the Middle East. And it is going to be spread throughout the Middle East. And it's going to be scary, folks. The New World Order is going to come to pass because nasty things are about to happen. And people are going to get afraid, you see. They were afraid after World War One, so they put together their One World Order. It was the League of Nations.
Yeah.
Then they got afraid during World War Two that this could possibly get worse. And so they made the United Nations. And now, folks, we got the next war, which it always takes a big war to bring in a new world order, you see. So we got the next war coming. It's on the burner right now. And when it comes, the dragon's coming on the scene. The dragon of the first 3.5 years of Revelation 12 is coming on the scene. And it's going to come because the nations are frightened.
Okay, explain the dragon. There's people out there that don't.
Okay, well, Revelation 12 identifies the dragon as the devil himself.
Yeah.
But they don't understand, just as Christ lives in his body, the devil lives in his body. The dragon in a 7-head, 10-horned body is talking about the sons of the devil out there, the people in whom the devil lives, in whom the devil has been recreated. His nature has been recreated in them. The dragon, folks, is every lost person on planet Earth.
Good point, and I'm glad you said that because that's the absolute truth.
See, but the head, the mind, the nature is the devil himself.
Yeah.
And like Jesus told the religious Pharisees, he says, "You're of your father, the devil. It's his will that you do." See, so it's real simple. Anybody that obeys their flesh and walks after the mind of the flesh and walks in sin, they are the body of the dragon. And there's a difference in the dragon and the beast. The dragon's the first 3.5 years, and the beast is the second 3.5 years. And there's a difference of the nature. You know, you take the first 3.5 years, the crowns are on the heads, and the second 3.5 years, the crowns are taken off of the heads and put on the horns. See, that's a whole change in the nature of the beast system. We're going to go from national recognition to continental recognition, the 10 horns, and the 10 horns are the 10 kings, the 10 continents. In other words, they want to do away with national boundaries in order to, they think, make peace, and do away with religious boundaries in order to make peace. And nationalism, of course, causes wars, and religion causes wars. So if you break up those boundaries and you throw people into the boundaries with other people, it's not as easy for them to block vote and cause a big war, you see. So that's their idea. Who can make war with the beast? Because he's everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And he's got all the military. So, I mean, that's where we're headed, you know. And so the dragon is slightly different than the beast, but the beast is, you see, the New World Order, Roman Empire, is being restored in stages.
Yes.
You know, the restoration of this beast kingdom is just nothing but the sons of God coming to fruition, coming to perfection right alongside of the sons of the devil. See, everybody's coming to perfection here, the sons of the devil and the sons of God. That's what's going to make this thing so much of a war, you know.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to have another 9-1-1 here, folks. I mean, everything's pointing that way. I mean, we're starting to have the same kind of stock activity we had just before 9-1-1.
That's true.
You know, people betting that before the end of September, there's going to be such a strike that these things are going to just drop. You know, the Dow Jones and so on, they're all just going to drop, you know. Well, you know, this is people that are in the know. This is people that... they know it because they're doing it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. They know because they're doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are the guys that are out to make the money, the insiders. And pay attention, folks. We are about to have another 9-1-1 here. And when it happens, of course, they're going to go out to bomb whoever they can bomb, you know?
That's right.
And here we go again.
Yeah.
Man never learned, do they?
You know, you'd think that after 2,000 years, somebody'd get it. You know, but it's just, like you say, David, it's a repeat. And, it's like the spirit of stupid.
Yeah.
It's just oozing and gooing all over millions and millions of people. It just, it's flabbergasting.
Well, they've got an excuse, but we don't.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, my gosh. And something else you said... You know, when we were talking about what these churches are teaching and what they're not teaching, boy, oh boy, do I agree with you wholeheartedly. They're not teaching the men in these churches to walk the walk. They're not teaching them to go out into the world and do the work. They're keeping them in the pew.
Mm-hmm.
Along with their pocketbook.
Yes. Yep, they're building their own kingdom. They want everybody to be at ease and at peace right there. We don't want to stir anybody up by preaching against sin. You'd have a lot of them hitting the door, right?
You bet.
And so, you know, that's the problem, folks. If you preach the word, you'll have a holy body. You know why? Because the word angers people.
Yes, it does.
And it will drive them out of the door. You should have 10 times the people running out the door than coming in and staying.
Yeah, exactly. And how is it, David, that people, some of the biggest ministries in our country, in the United States. Some of the most well-known, worldwide well-known pastors or ministers, whatever, are members of the CFR.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can you be walking the walk with God and be a member of the CFR?
Well, I think it's just an absolute proof that there are many sons of the devil standing in the pulpits, you know.
But people worship these people.
Oh, yeah.
And they flock in huge numbers to listen to them. And there's no spiritual food put on the menu. It's a nice, feel-good kind of message, you know. And I just don't understand, David, how people are not, how they can remain so blind, so deaf.
Well, the majority of them can remain that way because they're getting what they want. Now,
okay.
They don't want more of Christ. Christ bothers them. Christ disturbs them.
Yeah.
To think that God expected us to come here and walk by faith and receive His power to live a holy life and separate from this world and to lose our life in this world frightens them.
Yeah.
The idea of losing your life in order to gain your life, which Jesus said, of course, we must do,
right,
frightens these people. So what they want to hear is an I'm okay, you're okay type message, and that's what they're getting. And they're going to sleep. They're prospering in the world. They're enjoying it, but they don't know what's coming. And they will not be able to stand in the time to come.
That's right.
The only people that will be able to stand is the holy people. And, you know, there's a great falling away, the scripture says. I talk a lot about the great revival, and I believe in it, but there's something that happens at the same time.
Yeah.
A great falling away.
This is kind of like a simultaneous occurrence?
Yes, because when Jesus came, two things happened. Number one, he made those Pharisees, Sadducees and their people responsible. He said, if I hadn't come and spoken unto you, you wouldn't have sin, but now you've got no excuse for your sin.
Right.
And what happened is God started reprobating those people from then on. When they heard the truth and they saw the miracles and they did nothing, he started reprobating them. But guess what was happening at the same time? An awesome revival. Who was it? The church.
Yeah.
The early disciples were called the church. They were Jews, yeah, but they were called the church because the church means ecclesia, called out ones. So who's having the revival? The called out ones. The ones that came out of those apostate religions of Judaism.
Yeah.
And now history's about to repeat, and I want to tell you folks out there, listen. The great revival is going to be among the people who come out from among the apostate churches of Christianity. That's the great revival. What's the great falling away? Those that stay in that harlot.
Yeah.
There's a great falling away. They're blind. They're going to become more and more blind. They're going to become the persecutors like they were in Jesus' day. They're going to be the persecutors.
Yes. Well, you know, we've got this article that came out on WorldNet Daily, and there was a lot of talk about it even before that, where the federal people have gone to a lot of these pastors and said, look, you know, you get your people to cooperate, you know, and we'll take care of you. You and your family will have no problems. Just get your people to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's happened before. You take, you know, the underground church in the USSR, you know,
yeah,
for instance. I mean,
yeah.
They were cooperating with the government because they were threatened, and they were cooperating with the government because they didn't want to lose their position, and you know. But these people weren't Christians, and you know, the Bible forbid us to put a stranger. He forbid in Deuteronomy for Israel to put a stranger over them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happened, folks. You think that guy up there is a, you think he's a Christian? But Christian means Christ-like.
That's right.
And you have put a stranger over you. You know that the northern 10 tribes worshiped the image of the beast, and they called him Jehovah. They thought that that was Jehovah, but it was their own image of Jehovah. And you know what they did? They made of the people that were not Levites to be priests over them.
Yeah.
What does that mean? 10 out of 12 tribes had people that were priests over them that were not ordained of God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, what's that a repetition of? Our day. Our day. You see, our day, 10 out of 12 tribes of New Testament spiritual Israel are worshiping the image of the beast, and they don't know it. They think it's Jesus. But it's another Jesus, and another gospel, and another spirit, you see? And they think it's Jesus, but it's not. They're deceived. And guess what? Their Levites are not Levites either.
That's right.
You know, this is the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion. You know, in the midst of the people of God, folks, it's happening again. History is repeating. If you follow these men, it's going to be the blind leading the blind.
That's right.
You're both going to fall in the ditch. Come out from among them and be separate. God is about to come on the scene again, as he did in the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. He's coming in his man-child. And guess what? It's going to be the same story. The same story. If you don't listen to these people as they share with you the Word of God, the very truths of the Word of God that the blind Pharisees and Sadducees cannot understand, if you don't listen to them and come out from among them, you're going to slide down the tube with the rest of this Daughters of the Harlot.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
There is a great falling away and a great revival. Make sure you're on the right side.
You know, and it's interesting that it's kind of, it's a simultaneous occurrence, you know, overlapping, if you will. I don't know how to exactly express it, but it's not this will happen and then that will happen, right?
No, really, because remember, Jesus was the one who spoke the words that brought life.
Right.
And he also spoke the words that brought responsibility to those who claimed to be God's people. See? So here we have, the man-child is going to be straight from the throne of God.
Yeah.
To share with the people the words that will give them the life of Christ. At the same time, these same words, confirmed by signs and wonders, will make the status quo responsible. And then God will not forgive their sins anymore. He said, if I hadn't come and spoken unto you, you would not have sinned. Now you've got no excuse. In other words, you know what? Jesus said the truths that he shared was removing their covering from over them. And now they were being held responsible as sinners, and God was reprobating them. You know what they did? They persecuted the full gospel church.
Oh, yeah.
Of that day. Now, folks, the same thing's about to happen, and I give you one guess who's going to persecute the full gospel church. You say, well, I suppose it's the non-full gospel church. Yeah. That's going to be the biggest part of the northern 10 tribes, is the non-full gospel church. And there are a lot of people out there that you think are full gospel, and they're not. And they speak in tongues, too, but they are not. They are antichrist to the core, and they will buy every lie that comes down the road. And they're doing it now. There's a great revival over here in our town that's spread all over the world, and those people that are overtaken by those demon spirits are not able to live a holy life. Every one of them is given over to their old lusts. They're dying like flies. And you called it a revival out there, world. You thought it was a revival. It was a revival, all right. It was the fake revival that comes before the real revival. Just like Babel was the fake virgin birth before the real virgin birth. The devil always does that, folks. And the people that buy the lie, they're proving themselves not to be the sons of God.
That's right. Well, Jesus said, David, he said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. That should be obvious to people that not everybody is of his flock, you know, because they don't hear his voice.
And he said, and one more thing, they follow me.
Yes.
So you out there that say you're once saved, always saved because of that, he said his sheep follow him.
Yes.
They use that verse. They love that verse. They love those few verses right there to prove that, oh, that's all right. I'm in God's hand. Nobody's going to pluck me out of his hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great apostasy for people to believe that. Multitudes of people are going to take the mark of the beast because they believe that false doctrine.
Well, you know, what you said just a minute ago there, once saved, always saved. I don't see how that can be. If someone is saved and then they go out and commit atrocities and other things and do terrible things, how can they claim that they're still saved?
Well, again, the letter destroys them because they don't understand that when you first come to Christ, you're saved by faith. You're
right.
Not saved by manifestation.
Right.
You've received his spirit. But if you don't obey that spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But if you walk after the flesh, you must die.
That's right.
So the fact that you received a new spirit from Christ, that only gives you the ability to walk with him. It does not make you manifestly saved. We are saved by faith, and faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. You understand? If you walk by faith, if you receive all of your salvation by faith, and you walk in that faith, the Lord God Almighty will manifest it in you. But if you walk after the flesh, what you're saying is, I've made my choice. I want to walk as the image of the beast, not the image of Christ. And when you do that, you're going to get what you deserve. See? So when you say you're saved, if it's by faith, then it's only he that endureth to the end that is saved. See, you don't understand what Jesus said there. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's talking about manifestation of salvation.
Yes.
If you ask God for a healing and you don't endure to the end believing that you received this healing, do you get the healing? No. Do you get the salvation? No. You see? So salvation by faith is, they think that they're manifestly saved when the preacher tells them so. Or when they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. That's not even in the Bible, folks. That's not in the Bible. There's no verse like that in the Bible. Accepting Jesus. Jesus has to accept you. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't repent and believe, Jesus does not accept you. So you can accept him all you want. But unless you listen to the real demands of the gospel, which is repent and believe. If you're not going to repent and believe, you can accept all you want. You are not accepted. Repent and believe. That means change your mind and believe what this book says. Not what the daughters of the harlot say, what this book says.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to do that, forget it. You were deceived. And you're going to split hell wide open. I say repent. Change your mind. That's what the word repent means. Metanoeo. Change your mind. Read this book and believe it. Forget about the... Don't waste your time going into the harlots' churches. They cannot speak the truth any more than those churches in Jesus' day could. They cannot speak the truth because they do not know it. History is about to repeat. Come out from among them and be ye separate.
Amen.
The mother of harlots, folks, is just that. Notice. In Revelation 17, she's called the mother of the harlots.
Plural.
That's right. The harlots. The daughters are the harlots.
Yes.
And if you're in one of those daughter harlots, you have to repent and come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then God says, I will be to you a father. You come out from among them and you be separate. You read your word. Forget about this gospel. Just accept Jesus. That's a way to fill churches. That's all that is. It's a lying gospel. It's not in the book. Go look for it. Get your concordance out and look for it. You will not find it in there. They demanded you repent and believe. Jesus said if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. You are here to lose your old life. Jesus made that possible by the sacrifice that he did on the cross, because you were crucified with him. And reconciliation was made. That means, very simply, that God took your old life and he put it on that cross and he gave you the life of Christ. Now, if you believe that, God will bring it to pass. If you walk after the lusts of your flesh while you've just accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to go to hell. And thank God that the Lord won't let anybody like that in heaven, because it would ruin it for all of us. It's my heart that as many people out there who will repent and believe will learn that Jesus sacrificed his life. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see, he perfected you at the cross. But if you don't walk in that faith, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. You're accepting this on the grounds that God said it. And if you accept it, you're justified through your faith. And while you're justified through your faith, God can bring it to pass, because now we're dealing with a justified believer. You see? Yeah. But if you just believe, I got everything I'm going to get when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. You know why? Because you're not bearing the fruit of the seed that he sowed in you.
That's right.
You can have a born-again spirit, Christian. You can have a born-again spirit. But your soul must be born again, as Peter said, through your obedience to the truth. That's what Peter said. You know, we're here to be born again spirit, soul, and ultimately body when we get our new body.
We have to die to ourselves.
Yes.
You know, and that is an issue that I don't hear people talking about, because they don't want to do that. You know, they want to sit and read the scriptures, David, and sing songs and praise God and say prayers. And, oh boy, they're in...
And get moralized every Sunday.
Yeah, they're moralized, you betcha. And they're in like Flynn. Whoopee. No, that's not the way it works. There's something wrong with that picture. And, you know, you've made it real plain what's wrong with that picture. And I just pray to God that people will hear this message and... change their mind and start on a new path. And
the sad thing is that Georgian is that a lot of people are not going to recognize Jesus when he shows up this time.
Well, he's not going to look like these paintings that they have.
No, he's not.
You know,
nobody, and he's going to be so rejected by their own religion.
Oh, yes.
You know, when he shows up this time in a corporate body, you know, to share basically the same gospel that they departed from.
Yeah.
You know, and confirmed with the signs and wonders of God. When they find themselves persecuting the very one that they say they believed in, what excuse will they have? See?
Yeah.
He that receiveth you receiveth me, Jesus said. And you know what a Christian looks like, folks? We gotta listen to what Jesus said. Jesus identified a believer. Nobody else can identify for you what a believer is. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That's what a believer is. Don't call them Christians. Call them what they did in the Bible. It was the pagans that called them the Christians, because they acted like Christ and they believed that they reflected him, you see. But, these signs shall accompany them that believe. If you are a believer, you're walking in the steps of Jesus. You're doing the works of Jesus, both in holiness and in ministry. You're doing the works of Jesus. That's what he said. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And in Mark 16:15, he says that the signs that will follow believers is what? Well, they're going to cast out demons. They're going to heal the sick. They're going to speak in tongues. They're going to go on and on. He gave signs. There are signs of believers. Jesus gave the sign. Your church cannot give you anything other than what the Word of God says. If they tell you you're a believer because you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, well, go find the verse.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem. They've added to the Word of God. They've brought you under a curse. The last four verses of the Bible tell us that. Five verses of the Bible tell us that. You know, I testify unto every man that heareth the words, the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. If you take away from the Word of God with your dead religion, guess what? You're going to be taken out of the book of life. That's what God says. Don't let these people pollute you with their leaven.
That's right.
Come out from among them and be separate. Listen, if you don't let them put you under condemnation if you don't come to that thing they call a church. The church is the called out ones. If you want to be the church, you come out from among them. You go home and read your Bible and find out what the truth is so you're not deceived by another one of these cults.
That's right, and that's a perfect word. They are. They're cults.
Well, they say you're the cult because you're in the minority.
Sure.
But they're the cult, just like they were in Jesus' day.
It's all backwards, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Upside down and backwards. Oh, David. Wow. Your new book, when will it be out?
Well, I'm working very hard to try to get it to the editors right now. And, of course, they've had it before. And straighten it up before I could go back in there and do some more work. So we've been passing it back and forth, but I'm hoping to pass it to them just for one last time this time, and they can finish it up and we can get it out. I don't know. I don't think it could possibly be out before a month and a half or 2 months, but I don't like to say that because everybody starts calling and say, oh, is it out yet? Is it out yet?
Yeah.
I said, oh, I can't stand it. Please don't call me or don't call us because we can't handle any more, you know, than what we're getting now, you know. So.
Okay. Well, I would certainly recommend that the listener go to americaslastdays.com. And there is a wealth of very, very good food there, spiritual food, and audio files, and David is a wonderful man of God, a teacher, and very much loved by many, including myself. I have the greatest respect for you, David. You say it like it is, and very few people are doing that. And thank you.
Oh, thank you, George Ann, for getting the word out. Praise be to God.
Well, let's do more of this because there's a lot of issues, David, that nobody's covering, you know, and they're giving the same old sing-song stuff, and it's not feeding the people. And
well, you see, what the Lord's doing is he's drying up their preachers.
Yeah.
So that they have no excuse. The ones that are really hungry for God, they're going to get so dried up, they're going to start looking elsewhere. Thank God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And God's taking the anointing away from them, what little that they have had, and he's going to, you know, invest it in the first fruits that he's about to bring on the scene, and the witnesses, and the real disciples of Jesus Christ. So.
Amen. Well, you know, David, it's kind of creepy. In this last week, there was a Baptist minister, I believe it was, who was mowing his lawn in Oklahoma, and a huge sinkhole opened up and almost swallowed him up. Here, I think it was Saturday morning, there were five Jehovah Witness ministers that were killed in a plane wreck, plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at these sex scandals that have taken down a lot of the ministers. Wow.
Well, we have a testimony on our site of a tornado that went through a city, and it hit the church, mm-hmm. and all the people in this church were in the center of the hallway.
Yeah.
The only one, I mean, it tore this church to pieces, but the only one in that hallway that got hurt was the pastor, and the light came down out of the ceiling and hit him in the head.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I said, are you saying something here, Lord, or what?
Yeah, I mean.
You know, you first of all, you're responsible if you teach that worthless doctrine to God's people. He will not hold you guiltless.
That's right. That's right. Well, David, God bless you, and God bless every listener out there. Get in touch with David Elves. Go to americaslastdays.com. Highly recommend it. Don't hang up, David. This is Georgianne Hughes with David Elves signing off. God bless you. Pray and read your scriptures and stand strong. Good night, everybody.